Amen. I'm going to endeavor to preach this the way the Lord gave it to me. Amen. And I might add also this morning, I thought was really interesting. We're supposed to be 11 in service this morning, and one of them wasn't able to make it. And I said, that's all right, Lord, we'll have 10. And then when the service got started, we had two more that just came walking through the door. We ended up with 12. And so, God, we ended up with more than what we thought we were going to have. And I was like, I'll take that too. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God hears your prayers. Amen. Amen. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. I'm going to read my other scriptures after you are seated. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. We love you, great God. We thank you for everything that you're doing. Hallelujah, God. I'm asking you, dear Lord, to lay your hands upon it still, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Let it turn into a hand clap of praise. Lift your voice to the Lord. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Lift your voice to the Lord. Give him a shout. You ought to shout hallelujah till you can't shout it no more. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. In Psalm 91, in verse 13, it says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the otter. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under foot. Amen. These are promises, amen, of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We stay in his shadow that will happen in Luke 10 and 19. Amen. In the book of Luke 10 and verse number 19, it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all. Everybody say all. All the power of the enemy. And nothing, no thing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians 6 and 12. Amen. Hallelujah. And then I'm just going to go haul off and preach this and let the Lord do what he wants to do. But God wants to encourage, amen, the church, amen. In Ephesians 6 and 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. But I want to tell you that you are in Mount Zion, so you're in a place higher than wickedness and high places. You know anything about high places is where they would worship their false gods. It's where they would burn incense to their false gods. A lot of times they would gather into places where they thought were the highest place to be able to reach the power of whatever their god is. We know that they were just demons, that they were just devils that they were praying to. Amen. But when you're in the church, you are in the highest place in the world. You can't get any higher than being in the church. Amen. Because the church is at the feet of Jesus. And there's no higher place than being at the feet of Jesus. One of my favorite songs is, down at thy feet, O Lord, is the most high place. In your presence, Lord, I seek your face. Amen. The highest place you can be is in the church. There is no higher ground than in the church. There is no place else that you can possibly receive what you need than in the church. You're not going to find it in a bar. You're not going to find it in a man. You're not going to find it in a woman. You're not going to find it in anything of the world. You're not going to find it in a place that you think is best for you. Why don't you go to God and find out what he thinks is best for you? Amen. Instead of telling him what's best, say, Lord, I want you to tell me what is best. And I can tell you the best place you could possibly be is in the church. There is no higher place than being in the church. I'm telling you right now, the world is a sinking ship, and you want to be on the boat that'll stay above all of that. And that is the church. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, I don't have any down stories to tell you. I don't have any deep revelations to give you. I just want to tell you about the power of God. Amen. My title is, I Give You Power Too. And you fill in the blanks. Amen. Hallelujah. We open up in Acts 1 and 8 where he said, I give you power. Amen. He said, I send the power to you. He talks about sending it, that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I might add right now also that if you think you're going to have power without the Holy Ghost, my friend, you're fooling yourself. Don't be no fool. You've got to have the Holy Ghost to have power. Amen. All the world thinks it has the power, but it really does not have the power. The power is not in the presidency. The power is not in the next bill that has been signed. The power is in the Holy Ghost. That's the only place you're going to receive power. Amen. I hope you're hearing that right now. I know it might seem elementary, but I hope our hearing hasn't become shut off to the encouragement of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, it takes the power of the Holy Ghost to overcome. Power is defined as an ability to do something or act in a particular way, especially as a faculty or a quality. The ability to directly influence the behavior of others or the course of events. Amen. So when Jesus told them, he said to go into the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He was talking about the real power, the Holy Ghost power, the real world changing power. Amen. If power can change an event, I want to tell you, why wouldn't you want the Holy Ghost on your side? Why wouldn't you want to be full of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Do you know that through you being full of the Holy Ghost, you already started becoming a world changer? You already begin changing the world around you. People begin taking notice of everything that was happening in your life. I want to encourage you right now, amen, as we're going to be leaving from this building to the next one, that we take the power with us, amen, that we let the power go before us, that we let the power be behind us, on the sides of us, protecting us at all times. It's also a delegation of a right or authority that is given to a person or a body. And the last time I checked, we're the body of Christ. Where does the power lie? It lies in the Holy Ghost. But he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He didn't say I send it upon the other church up the street. He said, I'm sending it upon you. Now, I know he was talking to his apostles. Amen. But last time I checked, we were apostolic. That means we follow the apostles' doctrine. That means we do exactly as they did in the book of Acts. We can't allow our hearing to become dull. We can't allow ourselves to become wedded and weighed down by the things of this world that we can't even see that we have the power. I'm talking about power to become. I'm talking about the power. He said, I send power to you. I give power. Amen. I give power. That's what Jesus does. He gave us power. In Romans 13 and 1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, I looked that up. That's not always talking about government officials being subject to the higher powers. That's all. That's, he wrote that to the church. He didn't write that to the world. For there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God. Now, people say, yeah, but God sets them up and he takes them down. Yes, he does. But if you are subject to the power of God, you will be subject to the things of God, and you will be subject to the laws of the land. You'll be the most law-abiding citizen that there is. That's what the power of God does for you. That's what the power of the Holy Ghost does. Romans 15 and 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope Fill. Fill. Says fill you with all joy. You with all joy and peace in believing that you may, amen, abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what God wants for you. Every person that is in here right now, you may say to yourself, I've already received the Holy Ghost. Well, you need to receive it again and again and again and again and again. There shouldn't be a time of the day when you should say, I don't have any need of the Holy Ghost right now. But you should say every day, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's only through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's only through the power of the Holy Ghost. It ain't through a self-help book. Amen. It ain't through the next guru. It ain't through yoga. It ain't through all of these things that try to get you off into all of these different fields. That's not what God wants. What God wants is he wants a church full of power. And he wants you to be a part of the church. And every way, I'm here to encourage somebody. Maybe you lingered off in your mind. Maybe you lingered off in your spirit. You said to yourself, what part do I really have to play in all of this? Well, you have the Holy Ghost, don't you? So then you have power and you have a much bigger part than you can possibly think of. Amen. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. There it is again. Power and love and of a sound mind. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you have power. Power. You don't have fear. There's nothing we should be fearful of. We are in the highest ground you can think of. You know the beauty part about having the high ground? You can see everything that's down there. It can't reach you, but you can reach it. That's what happens when you come unto Mount Zion. Amen. You come into an innumerable company of angels. And last time I checked, there's more angels than there are devils. Last time I checked, God has all power. The devil does not. Last time I checked, this world is underneath the feet of Jesus. Last time I checked, everybody that's under this right now, that's underneath the blood, has the power of the Holy Ghost. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 1 and 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone, everyone, everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. When you have the Holy Ghost, you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Because it is also a part of the power. That's what it takes. We're in a world where everybody wants power. Everybody wants to be in charge. Everybody wants to take authority. Everybody wants to be the top dog. Everybody wants to be this, wants to be this, wants to be this. They want all power, but they don't understand the only way you're going to get any power is by coming into the church. It's about being a part of what Jesus Christ has started. Because I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back, amen, with all power and authority. And I want to be a part of that power. So when I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I'm a part of that power. When I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I'm a part of that power. I'm glad there's somebody that believes it. That's awesome. Hallelujah. 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 Power is mentioned in Scripture over 1,123 times. That means it must be pretty important. Power is needed. Amen. For light. If you don't have power and a lack thereof of power, then you will be lost and you will be in darkness. Without power, darkness begins to take over. Without power, darkness begins to come around every corner. The minute you flip off the light switch, here comes the dark. The minute you turn off the power, here comes the dark. You want to have power. You want to have power so that your light can so shine unto the world that when those that are lost in dark places can find the light and lead them into the true light. Lead them to Jesus. Tell them about the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, it don't matter. God don't care how old, how young, how tall, how short, whether you're white, black, rich or poor. All he cares about is that you receive the Holy Ghost and power. That's what it's going to take. You want to overcome the works of Satan? You got to have power. Because if you don't, Satan has power over all the things that are opposite of God, that are evil. I told him this morning, I said, you don't necessarily have to fall into sin to lose out with God, because you were born into sin. But what you do is you let things stand in the way between you and God, you will miss out on the light, and you will become separated by that by itself. You can't do without the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're in this house, you ought to be tapping into the power right now. You ought to be tapping into the power right now. There's people under the sound of my voice. They need the power of the Holy Ghost. They don't need a next drug. They don't need a next alcoholic drink. They don't need to wonder whether or not they're in the truth. They're in the truth. And the power is right here. You haven't received the Holy Ghost, tonight's your night. You haven't received the Holy Ghost, tonight's your night. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need to claim it for yourself. God is not a God of just the commune, but he is a personal God. He doesn't want to fill the person next to you only. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He wants to make things right in your life. He wants to change things in your life. He doesn't want to change your outward appearance first. He wants to get into the heart. He wants to change the inside. And what is happening inside will begin to bleed out. That's what it did for me. That's what it did for me. That's what it did for me. Amen. When you get the Holy Ghost, 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Now I know he's talking to the man of God about preaching it, but who are taken captive by him at his will. That's the point I wanted to make. Is that if you don't have the power, then your mind can be taken captive at the will of the enemy. At the will of hell itself. Hell is a place you don't want to be a part of. You want to be a part of the kingdom of God. You want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. Do you want to be a part of it? Amen. I said, do you want to be a part of it? Is there anybody under the sound of my voice? Do you want to be a part of it? Hey, you children, do you want to be a part of it? You haven't received the Holy Ghost, children. You want to be a part of it. You haven't received the Holy Ghost, elderly. You want to be a part of it. I don't care who you are. You want to be a part of the kingdom of God. You don't want to be a part of a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I've heard so many people say, a loving God would never do that. And I say, what's your definition of love? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. There is no greater love. How dare people tell us and tell people that a loving God would never send someone to hell. They're right, though. A loving God would never send anybody to hell. You go to hell, you go to hell on your own terms. Amen. When you're separated from God, that's where you're headed. Amen. Hallelujah. Is it in the message about hell? But I'd be a fool not to tell you about it, that it is real. And there's people that we know that we are associated with that are losing out with God right now. And they're laid out on the floor somewhere, or they're parked in front of a television somewhere, becoming a zombie right now as we speak, being carried away by the things of the world because they want real power. And all the while they're looking at Hollywood stars pantomiming stuff out on television, acting like they have all power and authority. But I'm telling you right now, it's time for us to stop being intimidated by Hollywood and being intimidated by all this stuff. Amen. You want to know what God thought of Hollywood? You ought to look at how it looks right now. Amen. You ought to look at how it's burned to the ground. That's what God thinks of Hollywood. I heard people say, just the church thinks that. People who are Christians think that. My mom's not a Christian. No, she's not a Christian. And she herself sat there and said the nerve that they had to say anything about God out of the award ceremony and wouldn't give him glory in 24 hours that it burned to the ground. She said, that's not a coincidence. That's somebody that's not even a Christian. They even know what's happening. Amen. It's the time of the church. Amen. That power that's in you, it's time to start telling people about it. I don't like mediocrity. I can't stand it. I want to see big things. And sometimes in me wanting to see big things, I can become paralyzed because I say to myself, I want to see the big things, God, but I don't know what to do. But I figured out very quickly, I can't do anything. I got to have the power of the Holy Ghost to do any of it. Amen. If I want to see the miraculous, I got to fall back and I've got to let the Holy Ghost take over. I got to be full of the Holy Ghost. God set power in order by Jesus. Church, we have the power. God set order by Jesus. I'm just doing a snippet of it. Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That means he has all power and authority. That means Jesus from the get-go was saying it's mine. Nobody else owns it. So if I want that power, I got to go to Jesus. I want that power. I got to be a part of the church. I can't just say I want power and do nothing about it. Amen. Amen. Most people don't want the power we think of. We think of power. We think they want power over people's lives. But I've spoken to many of people. The only power that they're concerned of in the moment is power over getting away from that drug that's got them addicted. It's power to get over that pornography that's got them addicted. It's power to get over those things that want to stop them from obtaining the things they want in life. They can't get past it. But we have the answer. We have the Holy Ghost. The power is in the Holy Ghost. Behold, I give you power. It's time for the church to stop thinking so small. It's time for us to stop thinking so small. I don't know how many people are in Hutch. 54,000? Something like that. Is it 54,000 in Hutch? Mayo Whole County, 54,000. 54,000 people. You can't tell me out of 54,000 people that nobody wants to hear this. You can't tell me out of 54,000 people that can't even tell the right hand from the left don't want this. I'm telling you right now, I refuse to be Jonah. I'm not going to be angry because God wants to grant repentance to somebody else. Amen. I'm not going to be angry because God wants to give power to somebody else. I want them to have the same power that I have. If you can look at a drug dealer, a dope pusher, or a drug head, or somebody that's addicted in some shape or form and not have compassion, my friend, you need to think about where you're going with the Holy Ghost. You need to pray it until you break through into a spirit of compassion and say, let me show you the way out of this addiction. Let me help you. Let me pray for you. I had a young man told me he wanted to pray for a man. And when he tried, he said, I'll pray for you. That man said, hell, Satan. And I thought to myself, yeah, that's because the world's got them convinced that that's where they're going to find their power, is in the things of the dark. Amen. But there is no power in the dark. You know, I never really understood that. How you think you can have power in the dark. Most people lose the power. The first thing they do is they call the power company. Hell, Satan. Okay, if in the spirit you could really see just how dark it really is, you wouldn't be saying that. Instead, you'd be saying, I want you to pray for me. Please pray for me. I want to know about this Holy Ghost. I want to hear about this Holy Ghost. I watched a young man in service today as I preached about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and how God can truly change a life. I watched him. He tried. I don't know if he fully succeeded, but he put his head down and he was trying to stop the tears that were going to come from his eyes. Because that's what the Holy Ghost does. Amen. This world is lost with no hope. But the power is in the church. Ephesians 3:20. Amen. It's not of the church. Don't misinterpret. It's in the church. It's of Jesus. But the power is in the church. He gave the power to his bride. He gave the power to his body. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God can do more than we think. God can do more than we think. For all we know, Pastor Carricker, we're building this new church. We might not even be there a year before it starts getting packed out too. Because Jesus is coming back. Amen. We don't know the revival that God has for us, but we're going to press on anyway, aren't we? We're going to go on anyway, aren't we? We're going to worry about that problem when the time comes. But in the meantime, we need to let people know where the power really is. The power is in the church. That's where God left the Holy Ghost. When it was poured out, he didn't pour it out on the streets. He poured it out on the church. On the day of Pentecost was fully come, there were one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where who? They were sitting. Amen. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. That's where the power is. The power is right here. It's not the building. It's not the building. You're the church. You help people see past that nonsense. I don't have to go to a building to have church. You know, they're right. You don't. But you do have to be a part of the church to be in church. If this place was to burn down, we could have church out on the front lawn. We're still the church. I like to get people past that nonsense. You know, we're using a building right now. Oh, you guys are using that building. I say, yeah, but we're still the church. They don't care. We're using that building. It's a building. We go on someplace else. Praise God. We're still the church. It doesn't change. Why? Because the power is right here. The power of the Holy Ghost is right here. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It's in power. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God, I read it before, have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Acts 4:33 says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Amen. When you go out with the power of the Holy Ghost, you have grace. I hear people, grace, grace, grace. And some people, I wonder, what grace are you talking about? Are you talking about real grace? Are you talking about the denominal grace? Amen. That they try to compare to mercy. There's a difference between mercy and grace. There's a difference. Mercy is what God shows every day that you wake up. That's mercy. Amen. Grace is what God shows when he comes to you and somebody witnesses to you and you feel the need to come to church. Amen. And they get you by the hand and they bring you to the house of God. That's grace. That's the favor of God drawing you. Amen. He's already shown you mercy the day that you woke up for another day to breathe. But the grace appeared unto all men, teaching us what? That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's grace. So when you have the Holy Ghost, you have the grace of God upon you. Amen. Don't go out of this building and sit there and say, oh, I'm poor, pitiful apostolic. No, you're not a poor, pitiful apostolic. You're a child of God. Stop thinking like that. You're a child of God. Stop thinking like that. Amen. Amen. Y'all just forget you know me for a minute. Hallelujah. Just preach with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know any of you. You're all strangers to me. Amen. This is my first time at Apostolic Faith Tabernacle. Amen. Can't wait to go home. Amen. Hallelujah. Just kidding. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm just telling you, you got to get that nonsense out of your head. Poor, pitiful apostolic. You young people, you know more about the Bible than the people that have Bibles that are 60 plus years old in these other denominations. You know more in your little pinky finger than they do. Why? Because you got the power of the Holy Ghost with you. The Holy Ghost will bring all things to your remembrance. You know, when I heard Brother Carricker preaching on Saturday there, I said to myself, I said, man, our young people, I was looking at every one of you. You guys can teach a Bible study like nobody's business. And you don't even know it, but you can. Every day you wake up, you ought to be looking for somebody to teach a Bible study to. You ought to be looking for somebody to witness to. Stop being intimidated by this world. You got all these young people in the world that want to try to intimidate you, make you think you ain't cool because you in the church, because you ain't done some of the stuff they've done. Let me tell you something. I would give anything to have a testimony that I never touched alcohol. I wish I would have never done some of the stuff that I did when I was in the world. I wish to God that I had that testimony, but I don't have that testimony, and you don't have my testimony. And I'm going to say this loud and clear. You don't need my testimony. You have a testimony that I've never done it a day in my life. You know who else was like that? Anybody want to know who else was like that? His name was Jesus. He never touched it. He never did that stuff. Amen. And he turned out to be the greatest soul winner that the world had ever seen. Amen. Hallelujah. My word, he was only 12 years of age, full of the Holy Ghost, and telling the doctors about the word of God, telling all the lawyers about the law of God, telling people how to have salvation. Because the power is right here. Amen. Boy, I was going to get off of this, man. But I'm just going to stay here for a minute. Amen. I'm not trying to pick on you young people, but you the church, right? Amen. I'm getting older. Pastor's getting older. Everybody's getting older. And I'm not saying that's an excuse. We're not saying that. That's not an excuse. But what are you going to do when there's nobody around and you're the church right now? Amen. Grow in the grace of Christ. Grow in the power of the Holy Ghost. Pray yourself through every day. Get out there and tell somebody else about it. Don't go chasing a quick buck. Go chasing a soul. Get out there and say something. Tell them. I don't care what it is. Tell them. Stop there to deny it. There's a spirit of intimidation that comes over this generation of young people. And you got to shake that. You got to throw it off. I'm not intimidated. Amen. Your pastor's not intimidated. So why should you? Praise God. You have the Holy Ghost. You have the power. Amen. You have it. Amen. We have it. The whole church has it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So what is the church? It's the body of Christ. We all know that. I'm going to be bringing this to a close. There's only one doctrine. What makes the church is that it's the body of Christ. Amen. It's the doctrine of Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Somebody want to come to the music. And fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. What makes the church is we are of one blood. Acts 20 and 28, take heed therefore to yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The church is his bride. He didn't say, behold, I give you power to tread upon a quarter of scorpions and three quarters of snakes and to bring down a couple of little baby lions. That's not what he said. He told him, I give you power to trample upon the otter and the lion and the young lion. Amen. And he said, I give you power upon the serpents and scorpions. Amen. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, no thing by any means shall harm you. Amen. When we are in the church, there ain't no way any demonic force can do harm because you have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because we are in the church. I'm telling you right now, you need to hold that banner high that I am a child of God. Amen. When the Lord raises up the standard, amen, against the enemy. That's you. But I want to tell you something else about a standard. In wartime, when the standard of the king was held high, that was where the lines formed. They formed right where the standard was. And so when the standard was held high, when the man of God says, go and do this, go witness, go get a Bible study. The standard is held up and you need to rally yourself to that standard that this year I'm going to win, even if it's just one soul. Amen. I'm going to win them to the Lord. I'm not going to worry about whether or not my friends are going to have anything to do with it. But I myself am going to go win a soul. I myself am going to tell them about John 3 and 5. Except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell them about what it says in Acts 2 and 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. It said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. That's everybody. Don't let them slide. Don't let them slide. Let them know. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. My favorite one is 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children. You young people, you don't have them yet, but it's to your children and their children and their children. And the soul that comes into church is to their children and their children and their children. Hallelujah. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words that he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. There was added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. Hallelujah! So you don't even realize it. Right there, that's the Bible study. Right there, you just taught them a Bible study. Right there, you just taught them the whole message. Get them asking. Let them know. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you. Do you ever wonder about where the power really is? Yeah, hey man, let me tell you about Jesus. It's not in politics. It's in Jesus. Yeah, that same Jesus that the world talks about him. But let me tell you about the real Jesus. I don't want to tell you. I don't want you to go following after some false Jesus. But let me tell you about the real Jesus. The real Jesus, that's only one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Amen. In John 10 and 30. Amen. He said, I and my Father are one. I want to tell you about that Jesus. 1 Timothy 3:16. Amen. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed unto the world, and received up into glory. Now I want to tell you about that Jesus. Yeah, that same Jesus is the creator of the universe. Amen. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to tell you, amen, to be in the church, you will become a part of his bride. Amen. Do you want to be close to Jesus? Then you got to come into the church. I'm telling somebody right now, you got to tell the world about it. You have the power. You have the power. Hallelujah. I told you while I'm preaching this, forget you know me. Amen. I'm just being an evangelist right now. I'm just preaching to you right now. We can't be thrown from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Like Paul said, lest your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Amen. Let's start worshiping the Lord. Keep it simple. I'm encouraging somebody right now. I'm encouraging you. I'm not discouraging you. I'm encouraging you. You're in a world with people with the backbone of a spaghetti strap. But when you're in the church, you have a firm backbone. You tell them about the things of God. You don't worry about the things of hell. Hey man, did you see that movie? No, I didn't. Why? Because I was at church. I'm going to preach until somebody grabs that. And not just gets a hold of it, but takes it out to the world. Do you know the latest football star? No, I don't. Why? Because I was too busy learning my Bible. I was too busy studying scripture. I can't tell you about their numbers, but let me tell you about Acts 2:38. Come on, I want to know what you're waiting on. Hallelujah. I'm about done. I'm about done. Come on. Come on. Get a hold of that. I give you power. I give you power to what? To be a soul winner. I give you power. Power to what? To show him Jesus. I give you power. Power to what? To show the love of Christ to a dying world. I give you power.